Across Australia, it's NAIDOC Week, a time for celebrating the culture and achievements of Indigenous Australians, a time for telling Indigenous stories. Now, there's a course at WAPA, the West Australian Academy of Performing Arts, where it's always time for telling Indigenous stories. WAPA's Aboriginal Performance Course has produced some of our leading actors. It's been run for the past 18 years by Rick Brayford. Hi, Rick. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Michael.
And you'll be staging a big production at the end of the year, which is directed by that wonderful actor and director, Rachel Mazza, who's done heaps of TV and theatre, and she's the artistic director of Ibidgeri Theatre Company in Melbourne. G'day, Rachel.
Hey, hey. Good to be here.
Nice to have you here. And one of the students in this year's cohort is Rachel's very own son, Ari Mazza Long. Hi, Ari.
Hi.
Rick, this course of yours, how long has it been running?
Look, it's been running on and off since about the late 1990s, and in both Perth and Broome, and then I went up to Broome in 2000 to restart the course with the objective of having it ongoing and getting a new group in the program every year.
But what was the what was the trigger for it back in the 90s? Why did anyone set it up then?
It grew originally out of the Brand New Day production, the original stage play by Jimmy Chai, in conjunction with Black Swan State Theatre Company here in Perth. And once they started putting the cast and crew together up in the Kimberley around Broome, there was a great discovery of all this wonderful raw talent of actors and dancers and singers. And there seemed to be a great need for a good training program that may be Indigenous dedicated. And from that idea and from the need, I think, and the demand for the training, WAPA got involved with Black Swan and the original instigator, who was Michael Leslie, and put together an RTO package. And what came out of that was a Certificate 3 in Aboriginal Music Theatre. That was what it was called in the late 90s.
So, Rachel, you went to WAPA yourself before this course started. What did you study? What took you there?
Yeah, I did the three-year course and graduated in 92. Yeah, but I was having grown up in a theatrical world, my dad being, Ari's grandfather being one of the early theatre makers with the establishment of Nindathana and National Black Theatre Company, and that kind of whole birthing of modern black theatre that happened in the late 60s and 70s.
Right. We're talking about Bob Mazza, who was your dad.
Yes.
And he's a hugely famous guy. And was that a bit of a burden? I mean, it's always a burden to have a very, very famous parent, isn't it?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because the reason I went to Perth was I thought, okay, if I'm going to do this thing, because I was a little bit later in terms of I was 25 at this point, where I was thinking, okay, I am going to do end up in the performing arts, probably am going to do acting, I love singing, blah, blah, blah. I really want to be my own, I want to etch out my own pathway. So I was determined to get as far away from Bob Mazza as I could.
You put a continent between you and him.
Absolutely. I was like, I'm going to go somewhere where no one knows him. And of course, I turn up there, and the first, the Jeff Gibbs, the late, darling, love Jeff Gibbs, man, when he, the first conversation on the day I arrived there was like, oh, Bob Mazza's daughter.
I know. The first time I heard of you, I thought she must be Bob Mazza's daughter. I'm sorry, Rachel.
I know. I'm proud of it.
But it is.
At that time, I was so keen to kind of etch out my own identity as an artist in my own right.
And Ari, you're his grandson.
I know, yeah. Poor thing.
Do you have the same struggle, or are you your own person?
Yeah, I'd see myself as my own person. I've never tried to, as in I moved to Perth to get away from probably more my friends than my family. But like, as in I love my friends, but like just the distractions.
But you've got the same issue. Your mum is a famous actor and your dad's a famous actor.
Yeah.
Your dad being?
Tom Long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who we know from TV. All right, so why did you take this course? What does it say to you? How does it speak to you? Why would you want to take it?
Well, I've always wanted to do work in the arts. As much as I've tried to stray away from it, I've always found myself coming back to it. Mm. And my initial ideas was either going to WAPA or NIDA, and I was I wasn't sure if I was 100% ready for the like bachelor course or anything. And then I talked to a lot of people who have come through doing the AB performance course, the AB theatre course. Ian Michaels, Isaac Drandich, and all that lot. And yeah, I've heard nothing but good things, and yeah, I just thought it would be great to do. And also the fact that it being an Aboriginal course, it without a doubt will be stuff that I'll be learning in this course that I won't be able to learn from like a 3-year acting course.
Well, what are those things? I mean, I guess the question, Rick, is why would anyone take this course? What are you offering that actors wouldn't get just in an acting course? Because acting is acting.
Yes. I guess the main differences would be that all the students in this program are Aboriginal, Torres Strait Island. And so the work we're able to take up is the Aboriginal, from Aboriginal playwrights and Aboriginal screenwriters and Aboriginal performance makers. So instantly we can look at the contemporary themes of what Indigenous writers are writing now and the type of voice that is coming out of Indigenous playwrights and film and television at the moment. So we're able to take up all of that writing, all of that material, and present it to the students for scene work, for showings, for rehearsal processes, for the study of contemporary and traditional Aboriginal history. So there's a strength of culture as soon as you walk in the room. Mm. Everybody's Aboriginal. Everybody has that as a starting point. And although, you know, we take students from all over Australia, there is a common core in the knowledge, the starting knowledge that everybody brings to the course, such as, you know, the colonial history, for instance. So there's a constant flow of stories that can come out from families, from clan groups, from areas that we're able to take up and we're able to write and produce and devise. So it's quite unique, because every other program at WAPA, being, you know, quite a massive institution, a big sort of production house, you know, we've got this cultural sort of stronghold. You know, we're raising the cultural capital of the whole institution by having our studio right in the middle of all these other white mainstream courses, where there might be a smattering of Indigenous students in those other programs, but it's definitely biased towards a non-Indigenous perspective, where we can take everything we do from an Indigenous perspective.
Rachel, when I said acting is acting, you went, in a sort of knowing way. What did that noise mean?
There's the craft of acting, unquestionably, which is what you will get in Rick's course, no question. But certainly, I've reflect back on, say, for instance, my 3 years, and I've heard many anecdotal experiences of people who've gone through NIDA or VCA or whatever it is, and it's a brutal environment. They are not culturally safe institutions, and it's very tough. And you kind of, I mean, for instance, often getting cast in the black roles or the exotic, you know, like already the kind of stereotyping of the roles, of the parts that you will be, already happens in those acting courses.
You mean if we're doing an American play and there's an African-American in the role, an Aboriginal actor will get the part?
Yes. Yep.
Can you explain to us why that would be a bad thing? Because you can see why, you can understand why a director would do it.
The aspiration is that we get to a point where an actor of is able to play any role. What in reality happens? You if I sat in my agency and I said I want to read what film scripts are coming up, if the main role in the film is not identified in any way, you know for a fact that you're not eligible for that role.
Yeah.
Like, they will never give a lead role unless it specifies that it's Indigenous. Yeah. They will never consider you for those roles.
And you're saying you should be able to play Lady Macbeth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Certainly in those classics. But, I mean, we have got such a long way to go as a nation. And there's been comments like by certain artistic directors of certain companies that have said comments like, well, I wouldn't cast an Indigenous person in a role unless it was specified, unless I was making a political statement. So there's this this totally kind of closed and very narrow concept of how we cast our roles out.
All right, so on the one hand, we've got a course like this which is tailor-made for Indigenous performers, but you're also saying things need to change in the mainstream courses.
Mm.
So what else would you like to see if we could make a change now in the way NIDA and the VCA and WAPA do their bigger task? What should we change?
There basically needs to be some serious cultural awareness training on right across all these institutions, because people are blind to their own prejudices. And while they continue to not even be aware of what they're doing in how they're typecasting and narrowing the opportunities of certain students within these programs, it's going to continue to perpetuate these stereotypes or these limitations.
Ari, you've been doing the course for a semester, is that right?
Yeah, 6 months.
So what do you know now that you didn't know at the start of the year?
A lot, I reckon. Like, we've had numerous teachers come through, and every one of them has given, like, just said such use, given us such useful information to take on through life, really, not just through acting as a craft. Yeah, so it's been really good. And then we've worked with our dance teacher, who's given, like, you know, we've learned, like, traditional contemporary dance, so which has been, like, you wouldn't learn that in a three-year bachelor. Like, oh, you wouldn't learn it to the same extent that we've been doing, probably.
And not with the authority, probably,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose.
Did
yeah.
you get in?
You would yeah. definitely not learn any of that.
Yeah.
Rachel, I sense, despite what you say, that there is a growing appetite for Indigenous theatre. Do you think that's true? I mean, there seem to be more Indigenous plays on, and there are more Indigenous stories on the TV. I mean, things seem to be going in the direction that you've been fighting for.
We are definitely going in the right direction, unquestionably. And, you know, like, even as I'm talking, I'm kind of really questioning, you know, that whole concept of blind casting, I think, is very questionable anyway. So here I am fighting for it. I mean, basically, it's about equity of access to career paths and access to opportunities. And there's been a tendency to typecast and stereotype Aboriginal people in these typecast roles. What has been shifting, though, is the slow shift towards a strong body of leadership, strong black leadership in the arts, strong directors coming up, more producers coming up, and creatively controlled, exciting projects like Clever Man, like seeing Leah Purcell on the set of Wentworth, and and there's numerous examples. Like, there's some really fantastic, groundbreaking stuff happening, but it's because it's happening at the leadership level.
Yeah. Or Mystery Road. I've been loving Aaron Pedersen's smouldering performance in Mystery Road. Are we running two stories simultaneously here in this conversation? On the one hand, we're talking about the need for an Aboriginal performance course in which there's a safe space for Indigenous actors to learn Indigenous stuff. On the other hand, Rachel, you're talking about blowing the whole thing open so that Indigenous actors can get any...
Don't get me wrong. The need for these for this particular course. I mean, I would strongly argue that why are there only two Indigenous focused performing arts courses in this country
We need more.
We seriously need more, because this is not an even playing field. We are not in a time of utopic. Everyone's got equal access, fair rights. So to have a culturally safe, and like I said, these other mainstream courses are not culturally safe environments. There's a lot of work that needs to happen in those institutions. And so to create a culturally safe place to build up one's craft, to build up one's strong sense of who they are and their confidence in their art, so that they can go out and be strong contenders and strong leaders in the industry.
And that's what's so good about this course is, like, yeah, everyone feels very comfortable and very safe. And it's just been really good. And everyone who's come into the course feeling somewhat nervous or whatever, like, just in 3 months' time was, like, unbelievable how much people's confidence had improved being amongst a room full of Indigenous people and actors, and everyone's putting just as much of themselves into it as everyone else, and it's been really brilliant.
So, Rachel, you said there were two courses. So the other one is the course of the Aboriginal Centre for Performing Arts in Brisbane. Is that
That's
what you
right.
were thinking
of? Yep, ACPA.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
was. There used to be one when I started at Ilbidgery 10 years ago. There was the one here in Melbourne, at Swinburne. And, oh, man, it's so devastating to me that that course ended because – and I flick through all the names, the Tammy Anderson, Kamara Bell-Wykes, Leroy Parsons. Anyway, there's a whole string of working artists that for all its faults, maybe there was room for improvement, but they threw the baby out with the bathwater because all these artists that are now working in the industry came through that course. And so there's what I reflect on is when what I acknowledge is that actually it's all about pathway. So it's creating where are all the little stepping stones to fill the gaps. So the massive gap between those kids in the communities and those stages on the main stages and on TV and film, that's a massive chasm. So it's what are we doing as an industry to create stepping stones for people? Mm. And that's where courses like ACPA and AB Performs have fills such a desperate gap.
And when I hear you talk about this, Rachel, it really makes me reflect on the fact that we're all enriched by this. Everyone in Australia is enriched
Hell
by this.
Yeah.
You know, you see Mystery Road, or you see Redfern now, you see Clever Man, and you think, wow, these are our stories. I don't mean to appropriate something, but do you know what I mean? I sit there thinking, these are the stories of...
No, appropriate away. These are the let's stories claim of, this stuff,
yeah.
man.
Well, that's
this
what is... I want to do. I want to say these are the stories of my country. I live in a country with a
yes,
human history that's 60,000 years old.
An Australia that embraces yeah. their this long culture.
Yeah. I've always felt that we who came on boats expect new arrivals, more recent arrivals, to absorb Australian history since 1788. But really the ability to say, but we all have a history that is very ancient, to live in Melbourne or Sydney or Perth and to look around this country and think the human story here is to sense that the human story is ancient and to sense that common humanity. That makes my skin tingle.
Exactly. It blows my mind when I'm reminded, particularly because in my job I'm doing a lot of travel. It's like, actually, we are the oldest living continuous culture, over 80,000 years. Mm. Like, it's extraordinary. There is nothing even remotely close, even though, like, that ancient Chinese culture is only minus 2,000 years.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like,
poof.
Well, you know.
No, I'm with you.
It's like, whoa, yeah. We should be celebrating and embracing that stuff. That's what makes us so unique as a country, yeah.
Rick, we were talking about whether there was some kind of contradiction built into your project. On the one hand, providing a safe space for Aboriginal performance to be developed. On the other hand, training actors who can work in the industry at large.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, building on what Rachel said is that, yes, we want to train the students to be able to drop into Ilbidgery or Yiriyarkin or an Indigenous production, an Indigenous film or television or stage production, and know how to get along, know what the individual differences in working in those contexts are. And we also want them to be able to go for the big mainstream roles, such as, you know, but Sydney Theatre Company or Melbourne Theatre Company. We've got Megan Wilding starring in Blackie Blackie Brown at the moment through Sydney Theatre Company. So we can see that we've got graduates coming up. We've got people graduating that are well-trained, that are efficient, as good as anybody else, that we want to see going for all the roles right across the board. We want to see them taking up roles in Indigenous productions, and we want to open up their work and their capabilities to be able to compete on an open playing field with all the non-Indigenous actors that might be going for those non-Indigenous roles. And we want to be saying that an Aboriginal person in this day and age in a modern city can be on screen, can be on the stage without needing to make a political statement about it. They're good enough for the job, they get out there, and they are part of this city, part of the nation. Why do we keep needing to be making excuses because someone may be a fair-skinned Aboriginal or a dark-skinned Aboriginal? If they're Aboriginal, they're living next door, and why should they be excluded from all the non-Indigenous banks of work? And we want to train them for the whole gamut of things, right up to Shakespeare. At the end of the year, we put them into Shakespeare, we give them intensive work on Shakespeare so that they can audition for Shakespeare, not be afraid of it, and compete and win those roles.
Yeah, well,
through their skill.
That conversation, I think, is starting to take hold. I feel that you know, this is the moment. It's a good time, I think.
Yeah, can't wait to see Genoa Gila coming up in Julius Caesar.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Rachel, you're going to direct the end of year show for these guys.
So excited.
What are you going to do?
Look, to be honest, we've actually got a short list. We haven't actually locked it down as yet. We're very close to locking it down. But it's actually what the challenge is who's writing plays for big casts anymore? Of course, no one. There's the small canon of Jack Davis works, which obviously have massive casts, and that's about it. We've got a real serious dilemma in this country, and in fact, it's a worldwide phenomena where writers are writing tiny casts so that the work can get produced and toured.
That's right. Yeah.
And we've suddenly created this ridiculous phenomena where no one's making large cast size works anymore.
No.
Yeah, it's quite a concern.
Harry, you might be acting in No Sugar. That's how it might turn out. Now, your mum's going to be directing you. Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Will that be weird?
Nah, I don't. I'm actually really excited. I've seen all the works, and I love every one of them.
Yeah, but she's sitting right beside you. Well, just you and me.
It'll be weird.
I'll block my ears. Just having your mum telling you where to stand and not to wave your arms around so much.
I've worked with mum before doing stage management, and you know I've learned how to keep my mouth shut. So I'm, you know, I think it'll be good.
Well, chookers for that one. Rick Brayford is coordinator of the Whopper Course Aboriginal Performance. Rick, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Rachel Mazza is directing the end of year production. We don't know what it is yet. Maybe a play by Jack Davis. Haven't been decided. She's one of Australia's best known Indigenous theatre makers, but she can do the lot. Let's make that absolutely clear. And Ari Mazalong is her son and one of the students in the course. And the end of year performance at Whopper will be staged in November. And the Obituary production, Which Way Home, directed by Rachel, is touring right around Australia at this very moment. You'll find a link to all of the dates that you need on our website. Just visit The Hub on Stage. I'm Michael Cathcart.